Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Coming up on today's episode of the Chase Thomas Podcast, fellow sports reporters Bob Silverman of the Daily Beast and Andrew Hammond of the Detroit Free Press join me, as they do every single Friday afternoon, to talk about variety, fun college football topics with the Big 12, SEC future, Oklahoma, Texas, Giannis winning his first NBA title for the city of Milwaukee, the NFL's COVID, new COVID protocols, forfeiting games, what's going on there, the Vikings offensive line coach quitting or being, I don't know how to frame this, but just gone. Rick Dennison, because he refused to get a COVID shot. All of this, along with some other fun sports topics. Yes. Remember, new episodes are available on Apple and Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, every single day. Just look for Chase Thomas Podcast on any of those platforms. On the writing front, don't forget to check out my work at sportsrenaissanceman.substack.com. It's free for now, so y'all just add your emails to get each issue delivered to your mailbox every morning. sportsrenaissanceman.substack.com and the Chase Thomas Podcast on Apple and Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Uncle to Aaron, let's roll.
Sports reporters assemble!
Chase Thomas podcast. The Chase Thomas Podcast. My nephew needs me to record. See, I already hate it.
All right, you heard it. It's the Sports Reporters, and we have indeed assembled because it is Friday afternoon, where I am joined every single Friday by fellow sports reporters Andrew Hammond of the Detroit Free Press. Andrew, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing?
Not too bad. Bob Silverman up there in the Daily Beast of the Daily Beast in New York City is probably the correct way to formulate that.
Yeah, sentence. Phrasing.
Yeah.
Phrasing.
Hashtag phrasing. That's Bob Silverman. Bob, good afternoon. How are you?
Yeah, I'm fine. How are you?
Oh, my goodness. Andrew, what do we got to do to get Bob ready to go for this podcast?
I don't know. Send pictures of
why don't we talk about. We could do that. We could also talk about sports as hard as we can with Chase and Andrew on the pod. Mm-hmm. How about that? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That works.
I'm not going to sing the WFAN theme song, but I think most readers catch on to the reference.
Yeah, no, please don't.
So what I want to start off with
it was cheesy then, it's cheesy now.
Oh no, it's a real earworm. I love that theme.
I have no idea what Andrew was talking about in our text thread.
That's true. In the group chat, Andrew said he had something he wanted to get off his chest.
So I think we should start here. Let's start here, Andrew. What What do you have to tell the good folks?
I just want to say after 11 years, I told you so. I told you this would happen. Like, I feel like I want to cut a wrestling promo on basically everybody in the Big 12 right now. yeah. No, I mean, basically, so a little background. I've worked covering two schools in the Big 12 for about 10 years. This conference is such a joke. And if you haven't been paying attention, the Big 12, members of the Big 12, Oklahoma and Texas, they are going to the SEC. Basically, it's all pretty much a done deal at this point. I mean, pretty much it's all just crossing T's, dotting I's. But there are aspects, I'm sure, Chase, you'll get into it. But just from a person who was covering the conference in, you know, for a decade, watching all of this go down has been hilarious because you could see it coming. Like, you could, like, the inevitable was coming. You know, 2025, the contract, the basically all their contracts run out. They were like, this was gonna happen anyway. Oklahoma and Texas hadn't been happy because they pretty much got a sweetheart deal to keep the conference together. And they have all the money, they have all the power in terms of, you know, TV influence, all of that. And they haven't been happy with the deal that they've been given. I'm just like, oh, 2025, it's going to happen. And then, like, what was it, Tuesday, Wednesday this week, everything just hit the fan. And all of a sudden, Texas A&M finds out, you know, that they've been in discussions with the SEC for almost a year. And yeah, it's pretty hilarious. So I just want to be like, I'm the guy who's like, I don't know if this Titanic is going to work, y'all. Not sure it's going to work. And then when you get the paper the next day and you go to the pub, see, I told you this was going to happen. So yeah, fun stuff.
I didn't have the Big 12 perspective like you do, Andrew, because from my perspective, like, I'm in the heart of SEC country, and Matt and I were, we deep dive this on the pod last night, and it was all from the SEC's perspective for the most part. And part of that is just because we can't understand from the Big 12 side, but from the reporting on it, Bowlesby, I think, was rather ignorant towards
it's, you guys have seen King of the Hill. Mm-hmm. He is Bill Dotrieve, where it's this hope, it's this mean, well, good intention, but at the same time, it's like nobody wants to tell him his wife isn't coming back. And he's not like in a you know, gregarious and boisterous way like Dale. He's just kind of resigned to the fact that he has hope, but he also knows, yeah, she's probably not coming back. Like, once they had a conference call last night and they scheduled it in late in the afternoon to have Texas and OU on, who didn't show up to the meeting? Texas and OU. At that point, you should have, they talked about legal ramifications going forward. I assume that involves, oh, What are the legal ramifications if we just want to say, hey, you know what, deuces? I don't think that was brought up. It should have been brought up. But they're talking about trying to unite moving forward. You've been trying to unite moving forward for a freaking decade. You have, and this is where I get into the wrestling promo part, so sorry. Mm-hmm. You've basically, you pretty much just shoved aside any type of idea for TV, for a network, because you were worried about the tech being behind on the technology. And guess who put together a network in the time span that you decided to stay together, and now the ACC. Pac-12 had a network going at one point. I mean, it's still,
I still don't have it on my cable package. I can't.
It's still like, in theory, yes, the Pac-12 network is actually a thing. But at the same time, you opted for, and instead of basically saying, Texas, hey, get like either expand the Longhorn network to make it conference wide or just get rid of it. They're pretty much using it as like a public access network. And so your best games, like one of the best games of the season last year was on ESPN Plus. They put one of the best Big 12 games of the season last year on ESPN Plus. That's not how you expand. That's not how you are growing your brand. And yeah, go ahead.
As a non-football college knower, can I ask a question of you, Andrew and Chase?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
Okay. Is this plan for the Super Mega Conference in any way tied to college football players being allowed to sell their naming rights?
No.
Is this, it's not the mega conferences suddenly fearing a minimal possible loss of income somehow through like black bag operations and all kinds of under the table payments and trying to like consolidate power amongst the Uber teams?
It actually,
that's just me being a paranoid weirdo and guessing.
No. It's a good point. If anything, it's the complete opposite.
Okay.
Because the Big Ten is going to the Big Ten and ACC each have contracts that are going to be renewed within the next 2-3 years. I think at last check, and so that TV money that's already rising, it's just going to be even bigger, and so the Big 12 sees that, and they're like, wait a minute. And they're already being shoved in terms of TV. They're already being shoved off because the ACC is going to have, or the SEC is going to have ABC, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPNU, and the SEC network. So that's what, five networks that you're going to be able to see SEC games on. The Big Ten has pretty much probably going to be transferring over to just a Fox specific brand. It wouldn't shock me, but you're going to have majority of Fox games. So is the Pac-12. The ACC is pretty much going to be in bed with the with ESPN and ABC and all that. So the plates have been shifting for the longest. And when you have two good brands like Oklahoma and Texas, it's like, why am I still here with the bad news Bears when I have the appeal that I can join the American League? I have a budget and I have a footprint that competes with the Yankees of college football. Like there are, I'd say maybe 8 to 10 brands that could survive. And this is maybe on the high side, that could survive as an independent. Two of those are in the same conference.
Is one of them Notre Dame?
Oklahoma and Texas.
I'm gonna shut up about the college bowl now.
Oh, you're good. But yeah, no, it's just it's stuff that if you haven't been paying attention, it's honestly pretty easy to catch up on. But if you are the Big 12, and it's like, yeah, you should have known this was coming. If anything, they should have, leadership should have basically just said, okay, OU Texas, what do you guys want in terms of money? What do you guys want in terms of TV? Like, you spearhead all of this. And they basically were like, no, we're good. And
well, they also didn't want to expand, and they were good with the 10, and Texas just had this stranglehold over this conference long, and they bent the knee to them, and then they ended up just leaving anyway.
Why expand? Because, I mean, let's keep it a buck. They didn't want to be there in 2010. The Pac-12 basically said, you guys can't have this network. Like, you were going to sign on with us. You can't have this network. So it's like, hey, fine, we'll take it. And yeah, you inquire, you know, not even just not expanding, but then you actually go out there and say, hey, Cincinnati, hey, Central Florida, hey, East Carolina, hey, Tulane, hey, whoever, are you guys interested in joining the Big 12? you have them put together these presentations, and then you say, you know what, we're good with 10. At that point, I knew this conference is done because you haven't been proactive. Done.
Like, you don't think they're going to reallocate and just bring in BYU and Houston? And
why? So here's my question, and this is why
BYU is not a Big 12 member because of Texas. And now that Texas is gone, BYU can just walk right in.
So, and this is where I ask of people who, you know, because in theory that sounds like a great idea, right? What appeal does the Big 12 have nationally?
Hey, I don't know about you, but when I'm in a coffee shop here in the South, I have some buddies. They're like, oh yeah, that's Chase Thomas from the Chase Thomas podcast. He does that sports show. And I'm like, yeah, that's me. And then in this very real scenario, they look at me and they go, hey, what's the latest? What's the scoop on Breece Hall and Brock Purdy at Iowa State? What's Clone Country up to? And I'm like, glad you asked, because everyone's concerned with the clones. And they're like, yeah, not even just the clones, but like Lance Leopold, what do you think about that Kansas hire? Like, he was great at Buffalo. Gonna be great.
Okay, yeah, the bullshit detector is going
entirely. Oh my god.
I wanted to see how
Buffalo and the wishbone offense. It's been like three pods. Come on.
Yeah. So basically, yeah, I mean, that's the issue, is that you can revive this conference, but why? And who is
is there enough seats to go around for the rest of these members? Like, I saw the report that, and actually a clairvoyant Chase stepped up to the plate last night, because I was like, I don't know. It feels like Kansas would just immediately move to the Big Ten. They just feel like more of a Big Ten team anyway at this point. And now that's a possibility. And I don't know. I think the Pac-12 obviously can get the scraps here, and the Big Ten can maybe get one. But what I want to see is rather than just get rid of it, I would, the ultimate hilarity of all of this would be the SEC kicking Texas A&M and Missouri back out to let Oklahoma and Texas in. Now that would be
the issue about that is,
I mean, you can't both do
of
that.
Those both of those programs saw financial boons once they got in.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you can complain about not having Texas and Oklahoma there, but you've cashed those checks. You know what's coming. Why would you because somebody was talking about, oh yeah, Texas.
Some breaking news.
Oh shit.
So they have officially
language.
I know. They have officially, the founding members, this was from Chip Brown. Did y'all see this before we started?
No. I'm going to pull it up now, though.
The founding members of the Big 12 are leaving the league, and barring any unforeseen developments, will join the Southeastern Conference, a high-level source close to the situation told Horns 247. Texas and OU officials plan to inform the Big 12 on Monday that they won't renew the league's grant of rights when the league grants, yeah, in 2025. So it's over in 2025.
Damn.
Also, another breaking news, because the news cycle in this country just never ends. We have the first NFL position coach to part ways with his team after choosing not to get a Jag.
Oh, was it the Jags coach?
It was not. It was not.
Was it Rick Dennison?
It is Rick Dennison, Bob.
Thank you. If there's one thing I know, it's the Minnesota Vikings offensive line. That's what's near to my heart.
Whoa. Hold on. So Rick Dennison is leaving the Vikings because he won't get vaccinated.
Correct.
Well, all right, let me just say this about Rick, and it'll give me an excuse to hype the article I wrote last night.
Oh, speaking of, yes, please talk about that. You had a big piece drop for Daily Beast about the big brains that are
good old Nuke Hopkins deciding to say, I can either be vaccinated for a disease that's killed 600,000 Americans or not play professional football. Now, both are in their own beautiful, fancy ways, very deleterious to oneself. But, so in any case, last night, for all who caught this, he posted a tweet, then deleted the tweet, then he posted a tweet of Jalen Ramsey, then he deleted that tweet, but he left up the one that just said, freedom? which is a sentiment I think we can all get behind. And then, of course, Leonard Fournette also had to chime in. Like, there are a bunch of clearly vaccine-hesitant NFL players, if not outright full-on, you know, tiny wide receiver Cole Beasley types who are straight-up anti-vax and thinks getting vaccinated is a threat to his way of life. Somehow.
Which is weird. Which is freaking weird. You want to know why, Bob and Chase? Sorry, I don't know why I said that, but I'm frustrated. these guys go through the middle, you know, 2, 3, maybe 4 times a game. They're basically in what to amount car crashes, maybe in upwards of 10 to 15 times a game. And they're scared about a needle. Like, we've all been vaccinated. We've all gone through the process. The process literally takes less than 90 seconds max. That's what kills me about this. And it's not even just NFL players. It's just regular human beings. Like, really?
Well, they're a little irregular. But, I mean, it's – look, and I said this in the story I write. Like, look, it's easy to point at football players for getting this stuff wrong, or like Montez Sweat for saying, well, I'm not going to get it until I get sick, and not sort of understanding that the vaccine prevents you from getting sick, or Sam Darnold being like, what? It's not a problem. I live alone. Or any of the non-answers and stuff like that. And it's like, that's where America is right now. And actually, NFL players are doing a pretty good job of getting vaccinated. Comparable to other people in the same age group, they are doing better. And even as this story broke out with Hopkins and Cornette yesterday, the numbers have increased over the last 24 hours. So the NFL is doing a very good job of this. Now, I mean, as a matter of principle, I am generally opposed to the idea of an employer behaving in a coercive manner, mm-hmm. especially when it comes to something like private health. But we're just a question of like, well, you know, your owner can't force you to brush your teeth with fudge because that's going to make your teeth, you know, because that's bad for you. It's like, this is bad for everybody. And there's a reason why that in this instance, yeah, a little coercion might not be the worst thing. But the point I made at the end is like, you know, if NFL players all do end up getting vaccinated or vaccinated like 95% of the league's rosters or something like that, which would not entirely surprise me, I really do think that will do more for vaccination efforts across the country than any number of PSAs that could be run or door-to-door knocking efforts. I think, or not the door-to-door, that'll definitely help. But like, in terms of moving hearts and minds, I really think NFL players getting vaccinated will be a huge help, especially because it just plays into all the rah-rah mentality about like sucking it up and taking one for the team and doing your job, he said in his most Belichickian voice. Like,
you don't want a situation like, I don't know if you keep up with college baseball at all, Bob, but like NC State, this historic run, they upset Arkansas in the Super Regionals, the best team in college baseball.
I did notice this.
Yes.
Yeah.
And because they had some players who refused when it's been available for months, they got in a whirlwind of COVID and had to forfeit. And that was it. They were out. Like, they were on a historic hot streak. They may have just like forfeited a national title potentially. Like, that is,
oh, they were probably gonna be Vanderbilt in that second game,
right?
Like,
and they literally just could not play, and that was it. And like, I think that is going to be so fascinating, is that like people are,
I think if one NFL team loses a crucial game, it will do actually a lot of good. Look, there are people who are going to react to that and suddenly scream that the NFL has gone woke, and now I'm even more dead set against getting vaccinated. But I don't think those people were reachable to begin with. I do really think that this could have a tiny, like a bit of good on the margins, and the margins can make a huge difference. So
I think
that's my opinion about it.
I think we're reaching that point where, I mean, remember, I don't know how you guys felt about this when the president was talking about the 75% by July 4th. I was like, I don't know what reality this man is living in. And then like, it's good in theory. It's not in practicality. As someone who lives here in Tennessee and interacts with a lot of people or I should say, is familiar with a lot of people who will not be getting the jab. Well,
they do comment on your t-shirt a lot. So
yes,
there's that.
They do. They do. It's just, it's not going to happen for them. Like, there's no path to reaching those people because, like, they've already decided that, like, they're just not, unless you do school stuff where it's like, you can't get on, stay at campus unless you have that. But you can if you're off campus and go. And, like, there are little things you can do around the margin for young people. But, like, I don't know. I think we're reaching that point now where the people that care about other people, and I think that's a fair way to frame it, because ultimately, if you're a young person, you get it. It's less about you, and it's more about the people around you. And then, you know, I don't think there's a way to move past it. Like, there was a piece in National Review by Michael Brennan Doherty who outlined how he thinks that people should talk to and try and persuade the people who are the vaccine hesitant crowd. And I'm like, I don't think it's a reality anymore. And I understand, like, don't be intentionally angry and, like, the Twitter comments who just are, like, yelling at Cole Beasley that CTE's already gotten him. Like, that's probably not the way to go about it, is just yell at this man.
Yeah, don't yell at a slot receiver is a general
rule.
That.
Just don't say stuff like the CTE and don't go after that stuff, because I'm sure that's a real, real...
I know. Look, I legitimately do have a great deal of empathy for people who are getting bad information about this through no fault of their own. I really do. That's not like, yeah, it's very easy to be a dick on Twitter about it. And I'm sure I have been many times. Or about any other number of things. But, like, yeah, look, granted, I'm living amongst, you know, communists and Jews and Jewish communists here in New York City. But, like, were I to find someone who had vaccine hesitancy issues, I would like to think that I could respond with empathy. I really would like to think, just for my own self-interest.
And we all because do that anyway, though, right? Like, I think it's the only way that's the right way to live life is the empathy and, like, go through it and be like, okay, I'm listening. But then you have the alternative where it's like when you talked about Montez and what he said, but, like, we know that Ron Rivera brought in smart people.
Yes.
Like, he brought
yes,
in...
Yes, they brought in... Yeah. The NFLPA has been bringing in people to educate people and, like,
so
you know,
it falls on deaf ears when they're like, well, we don't know enough about, like, that's what they're doing. They're bringing in people. So it's like a bad faith argument of, like, well, we don't know enough.
I know, but, like, the stick, I mean, the carrot is only going to go so far. I do really feel like there's sort of a stick approach that has to be invoked. Like, with the French and telling them they can't go to cafes, and then millions of people sign up for vaccines and everything.
So,
person, they can't, like, smoke and have a cold coffee. That's
so. I've got a question in all this, and so because actually at one point, I don't mind the NFL saying, hey, if you don't get vaccinated or you have a bunch of positive tests come up and cost you a game, yeah, it's going to cost you playoff seating. Like, we won't reschedule, we won't cancel. Like, I totally get all that. I wish they had done that last year. And I'm not saying,
yeah,
you know, because
I mean,
it's like
there was just so many like they had no way of knowing how many games were going to be
right. And the only reason I say that is if because you basically just soldiered through when I would argue that a lot of teams, I'd say maybe close to half, were very brazen in how they operated. And it was pretty clear because, you know, you're having complete units getting wiped out. You're having guys, you know, contact tracing, all of that. And I'm not saying that, you know, oh, because they weren't tested, you know, anything like that. But it was just complete. We're just going to do whatever. I wish they had that last year. Like, hey, we're going to take this seriously because, hey, we're making a lot of money here. So like it is what it is that they're doing it this year. It's like, cool, fine. The issue that I do worry about though, is that how are team doctors and like you said, NFLPA people, like, why are you guys not leading the way on this? Like, how are team doctors sitting there? Some guys got to get a cortisone shot. Yet it's a bridge too far to get a vaccine. Like it's, it just feels like we're giving players this whole freedom of choice, and you know it's a personal decision for me, which is ironic.
Well, I think that the NFL has realized, like, you know, and the union should push back on this. I don't think it is actually a good precedent to be even if the NBA, the NFLPA wanted to squeeze on this. I don't think mandating vaccinations for all employees would necessarily be the way to go about it. I think that would be, and that's an argument that's very specific to the NFL, but I do think that would open up a whole lot of problematic issues down the line. And I don't think the union should go that. And I think what the union clearly wants to get people vaccinated, but they also should not necessarily cede any more power than they already have over the years. So
Andrew, what do you think? Because this is something that, like, the people who are on the other side of this, where I do wonder about this. This is something that I'm curious if the NFL has a plan, or really any, like, across all sports leagues and college universities, what the testing policy will be. Because we know how expensive testing was last year. We know just how expensive, and that's why we didn't know if Group of Five was going to play. It wasn't because they didn't want to, like everybody else. It was because they didn't have the money to do daily testing. I wonder, because of how expensive it is anyway, like, when we get to the point where teams, like, the way you get around this if you're the NFL or colleges is you decrease testing. And I know if you're vaccinated, you only get tested once a week, but if you're not, you're daily tested. But, like, I wonder, I mean, I guess the Delta variant and things like that right now, because if you just read the reporting on what's going on in Arkansas, it's horrifying. But I wonder if this is how it all ends. It's not getting people to get over that threshold. It's they just stop testing and they're just like, well, they're not going and there's no point. So let's just stop throwing money at testing when they're not going to do it. And that's how you move completely off. It's not necessarily getting the people jabbed. It's moving off and just saying, all right, we're just not going to test anymore. And this is just not going to be a thing. What do you think? Because this is like the uncomfortable conversation that I'm curious about these leagues and universities having soon.
It's a conversation that's needed. And it's kind of like, if you aren't going to listen, and you know, it's like, we want you to, we're fine with outside, you know, if you want to take an outside source, but it's like, we're giving you the best information that you can. So it's like, I mean, what's that line? You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Mm-hmm. I mean, these leagues are doing the best they can and they have the best intentions. They want players to be safe. And that's why I appreciate the fact that basically Nick Saban and Kirby Smart pretty much were like, do you want to be the reason why we're costed a national championship?
Do you want me from getting my bonus money, players?
I mean, basically, but in the NFL, it's got to be, if we're, you know, 7-10 or we're 10-7 and we had to drop one of those seven losses because three or four guys impacted what we did in the game. Yeah, I'm going to be pretty pissed about that. And so there's got to be leadership in the locker room when it comes to that. And just this whole weekend, the whole Dennison news, and I'm reading the story now, and I'm just like, why are we being idiots after last year? Why are we acting like this?
I think he's going to be everything. A martyr on all of this. And it's like, no, you'll just
and
be
that's
forgotten
the
and moved on. They'll
stupid
just move
part.
On without you.
Like, and that's like the stupid part. Just
well, happier news. Let's move forward with happier news, because it is Friday, guys, and the weekend is here. Bob, Giannis.
Yeah.
Is he the most likable superstar that we've had as an NBA champion in a while? Like, is there something, like, that man is so naturally likable. Getting the Chick-fil-A McNuggets, his dancing, his just everything about Giannis Antetokounmpo, his answers about being humble and humility. I cannot wait to read Miron Fader's book on Giannis, but we had that little
gonna bit be about
Nicholas Batum, where he's like, I'm going back to Greece if I'm close to him. Brutal burn on old Nick Batum. What do you make of all of that? His win, his 50.
I love Giannis. He's unreal. I mean, the thing about Giannis is, and he really is as close to, for people who weren't around to watch prime Shaq, that's what prime Shaq was like. His body is entirely different. His style of play is quite different, but the way he dominates and the parts of the floor from which he dominates are entirely like Shaq. And it's been really great to see his game just continue to grow and blossom. He's great. Lovable. It's a weird term. I think he's great. I don't know if we talked about this, but there is this very strange anti-Giannis backlash.
Well, to be fair, because he is foreign, it's hard to see a scenario where he is the face of the NBA. People are saying,
"Oh my God, Chase, why are you doing this?"
No, it's not that. It's more like there was a really good story by John Wilms about this in Real GM about how like the perception among a certain segment of ballplayers is that Giannis has no bag. Mm. Is that it's the Harden quote about like, yeah, if I was 7 feet, I could play like that too. And it's like, well, no, you couldn't. But in any case, there's this sort of idea that his physical gifts somehow make him less than or not as worthy of appreciation as a more average sized NBA player who dominates using other different physical gifts rather than just being extremely tall, fast, and bouncy and all that other stuff, which is it is a fraught and loaded subject. But I encourage everyone to read Willems' article at Real GM about this because he gets into it in fair detail. But like, yeah, man, of all the I suck at Chris Paul. That was awesome. I liked watching him suffer and choke again.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, that was a little Bob.
Really? I mean,
oh my God,
really driving the nail in on Chris Paul. What did he do?
Hey,
to you?
I didn't alienate like, every man. Single team I've ever played for. Come on.
Wait, so I do have a question, Andrew. Did you see the Amin thing about Monty going into the Bucks locker room?
Does he know like how many times that happens, not even just in the NBA finals, in Super Bowls, in World Series? Like, I mean, shut up, dude. Like, seriously, there are people in sports media that just need to shut up. And he is one of them, because it's like, dude, you know how many times guys have gone into locker rooms after games showing appreciation for what they did? Because this is one of the great aspects of sports is me and Bob could be competing over something. And yes, the competition is going to be intense and it's, you know, emotions are going to come out. But at the same time, I know for a fact that he's damn good at what he does. And at the end of the day, I respect him for what he brought to, you know, what he brought to the table, whether that be win, lose, draw, whatever. Like, you respect your opponent. And Monty Williams is a very classy dude. Like, how many times have we heard it? He's one of the classiest dudes in the league. So, yeah, you would expect him to do that. And that's awesome because he knows how hard the Bucks worked. They know how hard his team has worked. So, yeah, you're going to tip your cap to the other team. Like, one of the great things about the Stanley Cup playoffs, once the series is over, you have guys shaking hands and you see that appreciation for each other, because basically you're out there kicking each other's ass for 4 to 7 games. So Amin just needs to shut up. Like,
there's a cynical perspective and there's like another level of cynical perspectives, and this was one where I saw it and then I listened to the context and I was just like, I don't think the players read it that way. I don't think Monty approached
Nobody
it that way.
Did.
And I think this is just an overreaction and trying to stir the pot when there's just absolutely no need to stir the pot. But I will say, Monty's move has happened before. I know where he pulled it. And Monty and I are not super close, but what I can confirm is he is a Mighty Ducks trilogy stan. And if you recall, Andrew, Bob, I don't know if you're a big Mighty Ducks guy, but in D2, the Mighty Ducks, the end, Andrew, if you seem to remember, Coach Wolf congratulates Bombay. Gunner goes to Charlie, Gunner Stahl, legend, Iceland legend, stating good work,
Captain Duck. Yeah. Like,
it's happened.
It once again, I mean, Bob's just shut up, dudes.
quack, quack. All right.
Look at Bob over here going full Amin. Quack, quack. Hater of fun, Bob Silverman.
Noted hater of fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true.
No, that was a great moment. I literally would frame that if I could, of Stahl raising the thing. What a great trilogy. I can't even pick my favorite one. I might watch them all over again tonight. Who's to say?
Are you watching the new show on the Disney Plus?
Loki.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Are you talking about Loki?
No. Mighty Ducks, the Mighty Ducks show.
Oh, no. No, I leave the memories alone. It's a very strong, strong thing for me. It was like when I was trying to watch Girl Meets World, and I was like, this is not going to work.
But here's the thing, though, Chase, and I'll say this real quick. It feeds into enough nostalgia, but it also helps create its own lane.
Okay, I might give it a shot. I did Fear Street the last few weekends with the lady, and Fear Street is fantastic. Fantastic, guys.
Noted.
Last thing, and we'll wrap up on our Friday Sports Reporters podcast. Bob, did you see that Cleveland
announced the Cleveland Guardians of the Galaxy? Yes.
Do you like it? What's your initial thoughts?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's totally fun. I mean, I know there was a lot of people getting sort of weirdly angry about it. It's like, no, that's a fine name. All team names are weird and dumb. Spiders would have been cool. They would have had some cool arachnoid type merch, but I'm fine with that. It matches those big statues they've got in Cleveland. That sounds awesome.
And it's kind of close. Indians, Guardians. I mean, it's kind of close.
Yeah. They could have been Canadians if they needed it to end in D-I-A-N-S. But that's okay.
Also, we can just move forward. Like Washington, Cleveland, they're all moving forward. And it's just the people who get mad about this are obviously bad faith.
I guess the Washington football team is going to be named the Schmedskins or something like that. So I guess that's the only way to do it now.
I really hope it's the Red Wolves. Andrew, what are you hoping for Washington? And also, what do you think of the Guardians? I'm still rooting for Red Wolves.
Guardians is fine. I mean, it's fine. I would have preferred Spiders, but you know, it was too good. It was too good of a name to not do anything. But yeah, I want Red Tails because of the DC link with the Red Tails. But once again, it's too good of a name, so they're gonna come up with something lame.
I hope they keep it Washington football team.
Well, they've already announced
that.
I don't mind that either. Like, it actually works. You have the colors. If you create a cool enough crest or an emblem for it, because I think the W feels kind of lame, but if you create a nice enough crest for it, it works. And yeah, just
it's goofy. It's reminiscent of European football, and they would be the only.
But we
Americans
can't do that. We can't do that.
Yeah,
I don't like it.
I would have liked to just keep football team. I know they're going to go with something different because they got merch to sell, and no one evidently wants to buy a T-shirt that says football team on. Although again, I think that's cool.
Although people do buy New York basketball shirts, and I have an Atlanta basketball club shirt somewhere around here. So
there you go.
Yeah,
see?
Do that. Bob, how do people check out your work at the Daily Beast and your research?
It's right there on the homepage right now, and you can read about it at the Daily Beast, about my story about the anti anti-vax NFL players getting a little mad online. I will have a big story coming next week, which I'm sure we'll talk about during the pod on Friday. So that's
so it's coming up before the pod.
Before the pod. Mm. Knock on wood, fingers crossed. And I'm sure we'll have plenty to talk about on the pod about it. But this is something I've been working on for many months, and I think I can see the light at the end of the tunnel. Right now, that light is being blocked by some editors and some lawyers, but I can see the light there.
There you go. Andrew Hammond, what can we check out from you across the internet and at the Detroit Free Press?
Basically just prepping for football, and Tigers are on a roll right now. They've won 7 in a row, and they go to KC tonight, so they will probably lose that game because I'm a professional jinx. So Tigers, my bad. Pretty much just kind of monitoring everything that's going on, and that's about it.
All right, go follow them at Aham. What is it? Aham4? Is there some number?
Aham Free Press.
That's what it is. Aham Free Press at Bob Saeta. Go read.
It does sound like you're offering a kind of like a printing press that doesn't have any ham on it. I don't want to be critical.
Just want the ham.
Yeah, I want some ham.
Nobody wants ham. It? Ham is the worst meat. Everybody knows this.
What? Ham. Whoa! Is the worst
meat. Ham's the worst meat, Bob. Number one.
Like someone has never had any jamón ibérico.
No,
that's what this is telling me.
No, sausage is.
Oh my God! Go to Spain, get some ham. It'll change your life. If I had the means, I would buy you an entire leg of jamón ibérico. It often retails for $1,000 or more, but then we'll send it to you, so you can have an entire pig flank of cured meat in your apartment. But dear God. Go to some kind of delicatessen. I'm sure they have them in Tennessee. Get some jamón ibérico. Mm. I'm going to Google this when I get off this phone. I'm finding you jamón.
Okay.
It's like prosciutto, but better.
Never had prosciutto.
What? Man.
All I need is turkey.
You are missing out on an entire world of preserved delight. This is insane. Get some prosciutto. You can get it at frickin' Wegmans for the love of Pete.
Andrew, I'm like two sentences away from like, hey, we're walking here.
Do you have a Wegmans?
Your point?
Do you have a Wegmans in Tennessee? A Wegmans. It's a chain of supermarkets.
Yeah, I do know for a fact because one of my exes used to live in Knoxville. Yes, they do have one.
I've never
heard of it. Even a Publix.
Yes.
Do you have that?
But I'm not a Publix shopper. I don't go into Publix.
Oh my God, you are the worst.
So the reason I don't go into Publix is it's very bad.
I'm sorry, I am figuring out a way to get you some, at least if not ham ibérico, which is expensive as hell. Mm. I am getting you some prosciutto.
Okay.
It is a cured delight. It is unfathomably good.
Publix is bad, and I hope I don't ruin
the
future.
You do have a Wegmans though, right? Instacart.
I see one in Raleigh. I don't see one here anymore. Or there might be. Let me see. Beaumont Ave. Actually, yeah. No, it's called Friends Food Mart.
As soon as I'm off the phone, I'm doing this. All right, I'm out. I'm too mad to continue podcasting.
Awesome.
That's how mad I am.
Andrew, I have ruined Bob's Friday.
Well, you know, you ruined my Friday.
You what?
You ruined my Friday.
You ruined everyone's Friday.
By the time
everyone listens to this, it's going to be Saturday, so it doesn't matter. God, dog. End the pod. This podcast is over.
Bye,
I said
friends.
Good day, sir.
I think he's going to go full LaGreca on us.
I'm going to go full Gene Wilder and Willy Wonka.
I said good day. I don't know how to end this podcast. I'm terrified to
That's the perfect way to do it.
Pull the plug right there.
That'll be all for today's edition of the Chase Thomas Podcast. Appreciate each and every one of y'all for sticking around for another one. If you could be so kind, please do read my work at sportsrenaissanceman.substack.com. And please do leave a 5-star rating and a review if you listen to this very episode via Apple Podcasts. Don't forget to follow me on the usual social media suspects, whether it's Twitter at @Chase_Thomas, Facebook at facebook.com/ChaseThomasWriter, or on Instagram at @Chase_Thomas as well. And don't forget to give me a shout by email at chasethomaspodcast@gmail.com to participate in any future mailbag opportunities, or just if you have any questions about the show or anything of the sort, email me at chasethomaspodcast@gmail.com. I want to hear from y'all. I promise these little things really do matter. I'll leave you with this. Mr. Feeney's closing words. Dream, try, do good. Uncle Derek, how'd I do?
Nicely done, nephew. Chase Thomas Podcast. Hell yeah.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.